Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Travel to some of the world's biggest cities to enjoy nature. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're beginning our travel article today, which I know a lot of you really enjoy travel articles, so I hope you'll enjoy this one as well. My name is Naomi, and we're on page 24 of your magazine, so go ahead and open that up. Our article is talking about exploring nature around the world, but there's something kind of surprising about it. That is that we're actually traveling to some of the biggest cities in the world to explore the nature there. So my first question for my panelists today will be, are you a nature person? First, joining me is Carolyn.
Hello, great to be here. And I am definitely a nature person. I grew up in nature in West Virginia, beautiful, wild, wonderful West Virginia. And I love to be out in nature.
Mm-hmm. And what do you really appreciate about, maybe especially, I know you live in a city now. So when you have time to go and visit nature, how do you feel? What do you enjoy most?
I really enjoy walking around and looking at the birds in the trees, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of different kinds of birds here that I'm not familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I really like to see how many different kinds I can find while I'm walking.
Now, you were confessing something kind of funny to us before we started recording today, which is you really did grow up in the country, and you weren't really familiar with cities as a kid.
That's very true. The first time I went to a big city was probably when I was 10, and I went to Washington, D.C., and it was very strange because there were trees on the sidewalks, but nowhere else. And in my hometown in West Virginia, I can look out of any window in my house and just see mountains covered in trees, rivers flowing. And I live in town. Mm-hmm. I'm not in the countryside. I'm in the big city.
So by big city, you mean a place with what?
Like 2,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah, the big city.
Amazing. Okay, so you're definitely a nature girl.
Yes.
Well, also joining us is Gabe. Welcome.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, I am definitely a nature guy, too. I grew up in cities mostly, but I really do appreciate and enjoy getting out into nature. I especially enjoy like mountains and rivers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like hiking so much, but I love being near any river because I like river tracing and just kind of like discovering things there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the water is wonderful to be around. I think even just the noise of it, mm-hmm. how it looks.
Totally. Yeah, the rivers. And of course, if there's a river, then there's probably a waterfall somewhere and I can mm-hmm. go jump off the waterfall into water. It's amazing.
Definitely. Okay. Well, for me personally, I am definitely more of a city girl. I grew up in a big city. I've lived in at least fairly big cities my whole life. But I do enjoy getting away to nature sometimes. And I think often when you are a city person and you live in a city, it can feel a little bit depressing after a while. Have you ever had that feeling?
All the time. I would much rather live in a more countryside area that's near a city mm-hmm. so that I can go to the city when I need to or there's some sort of function going on, some sort of big art expo, then
okay.
I can go to the city. But most of the time, just stay over in nature.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I do live in a city, but it's kind of close to nature, and there's lots of things you can do
right.
Really close by.
Yeah, and I would say I'm the opposite from you, Carolyn, where I love to live in the city. I love the convenience of it and, you know, just being around people.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter where I live, I like to know that there is someplace beautiful in nature that's accessible to
yep.
me.
Yeah, it's great having something close by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sometimes on a weekend, maybe I'll take a day trip out to the coast or to a forest or I'll go on a hike, and I find that really refreshing.
I do too. Yeah, exactly. Especially if you need to get away from the pace of the busy city life. And there's so many different things to do. I mean, we mentioned seeing birds. And, of course, you can hike or go river tracing or jump off a waterfall, going to the beach, just so many different things that you could do in nature.
Right. So today we are focusing on cities that are not too far away from beautiful areas of nature. And so let's discuss that as we begin our reading on page 24.
Exploring nature around the world. The great urban outdoors, great adventures in nature without leaving the big city. From the fringes of New York to the heart of steamy Singapore, nature is everywhere you're not looking in some of Earth's most notoriously crowded big cities. From river walks to mountain peaks, outdoor adventure is often just a few stops on the train or a short drive away from the maddening crowds.
So we are exploring nature around the world today on Advanced. And what does our deck say, Gabe?
Well, it says the great urban outdoors, great adventures in nature without leaving the big city. Usually I see this phrase, but it's just the great outdoors. Here it says the great urban outdoors.
Okay. So the great outdoors sort of just refers to nature, right? Mm-hmm. Go enjoy the great outdoors. My mom sometimes would say that to me when I'd been inside watching TV for too long. Mm-hmm. What does urban mean?
Well, urban means you're in a city, so a developed area, and usually I don't associate urban with nature.
Mm-hmm. Right. So this is a bit of an oxymoron, right?
Yes.
Something that sounds like two opposites together in one phrase. Great adventures in nature without leaving the city. Sounds impossible, but as we introduce our topic, we learn more about what we're going to focus on.
That's right. Says here, from the fringes of New York to the heart of steamy Singapore, nature is everywhere you're not looking in some of Earth's most notoriously crowded big cities. Nature is not too far from these big cities. It's on the fringes of these cities.
Right. So this is a long sentence. It's a little bit confusing, so let's break it up a bit. We can take the first part right off of there first. We can say, nature is everywhere you're not looking. And what do we mean by that?
Well, it means that nature is all around you and you just don't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you looked a little bit harder, you would see it.
Right. And usually when we look for these kinds of nature spots, of course, we're not looking in cities.
Right.
But
no.
There it is. So this says, yes, in some of Earth's most crowded big cities, notoriously crowded, Gabe.
That's right. These cities are known for being crowded. Cities like Los Angeles and New York, we'll talk about tomorrow, New York, but these are very well known for being crowded, so they're notorious for being crowded.
Right. So going back up to the very beginning of this sentence, we get a little description of some of those places, right? And it actually describes a bit of the character of each city.
Yeah, so it says from the fringes of New York to the heart of steamy Singapore. And so if something is on the fringe, then it's on the outside of the city. And New York is quite a large city. It's very sprawling. So if it's on the fringe, then I feel like it would be kind of far.
Yeah, maybe. Sort of. But the fringe gives us the idea that it's right on the edge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's not way out far away from the city, but it is on the edge. And we sometimes even use that word fringe to talk about people who are a little bit unusual. They're not totally in line with the mainstream, with what most people are doing. So they might be on the fringe. And so close to the city, but not quite in it. And then we describe Singapore as,
well, steamy. And of course, if you've ever been to Singapore, then you know that it can be pretty hot and humid. That's just another way of saying steamy.
Okay, good. So New York, Singapore, these are some of those crowded big cities. And as we continue in line 5, we understand more.
Yes, from river walks to mountain peaks, outdoor adventure is often just a few stops on the train or a short drive away from the maddening crowds. So it's really not that hard to find nature when you're in these big cities.
It sounds like they are talking about all the things that we enjoy, walking by rivers, mm-hmm. climbing up mountain peaks, the mountain tops. It's not too far from what?
Well, it's not too far from the maddening crowds. If something maddens you, that means it makes you go crazy. And so of course, if you're not used to the city, then maybe you can find these crowds kind of maddening. Carolyn, when you visited Washington, D.C., did you feel like the crowds were kind of maddening?
I actually didn't because I was way too excited.
Okay.
I was very excited to be there with all of my friends, so no.
Mm-hmm. I will admit that I find the crowds at the night market a little maddening.
Okay.
Because it's hard to even walk through there. There's mm-hmm. so many people. But the fun thing about this, too, is it's actually referring to a classic novel that was written by Tom Hardy, I believe, called mm-hmm. Far from the Maddening Crowd.
It's actually mm-hmm. Far from the Madding Crowd. And so that was an older way of saying this, because that was written a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Far from the Madding Crowd.
Okay, so it's sort of a reference to mm-hmm. that as well, which is always a fun way to write, trying to refer to things that people may have already heard about. All right, well, we are continuing by finding a few examples of what we're talking about. First stop is L.A.
Here are a few favorites to get you going. Mount Hollywood Trail, Los Angeles. It's not a skyscraper or a Ferris wheel, and there's no pricey circulating restaurant up top. But if you want an absolutely unforgettable, no admission charged, 360-degree view of the entire Los Angeles region, the valleys, the mountains, the Pacific Ocean, it's yours. All you have to do is hike a little. One of the preferred exercise routes, the Mount Hollywood Trail, is easily accessed from the parking lot of the famous Griffith Observatory. If you thought the views from over there were something, wait until you see what you get at the end of this steep, but fairly easy, 1.5-mile trail, which winds its way through the Griffith Park wilds up to the mountain's 1,640-foot peak.
So our first stop is in L.A., and when you think of L.A., well, Gabe, I know you've been there. What do you think of?
A big city, a big melting pot of different cultures of people that live in a city, and Hollywood, of course, is right there in L.A., so mm-hmm. I don't usually think of nature, Naomi.
No, I don't either, and one of the things that I know about L.A. is that everyone drives everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have several friends that live there, and they're always complaining about how long it takes to get places because there are so many cars. Even to go a short distance could take you an hour, if not two or three.
Right, and most people don't walk around much there. They get into their cars, they drive to where they're going, and then they get into the building. So I don't think of nature at all when I first think of L.A., especially here, I discover that actually we're headed to Mount Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Mount Hollywood Trail. I've never been there, even though I spent some time in Los Angeles. But it does sound like a pretty interesting place to go. And it says here it's not a skyscraper or a Ferris wheel, and there's no pricey circulating restaurant up top.
Okay, why are we talking about all of those things? A skyscraper, a Ferris wheel?
Because that's what you usually think of when you think of maybe entertainment in Los Angeles is something that people have built, like a skyscraper or a Ferris wheel.
I also think of that's just the best way to see a city often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of major cities that have expensive restaurants that do a 360-degree rotation above the city so that you can see everything.
Okay, so that's that pricey circulating restaurant. Often, if you want to go get this view and enjoy that meal, you're going to pay a lot of money for it.
Exactly. I've been to some restaurants like this, a circulating restaurant at the top of a really tall building. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Okay. And a good way to see the city.
Mm-hmm.
But according to this article, there's a better option.
Yes. But if you want an absolutely unforgettable, no admission charged, 360-degree view of the entire Los Angeles region, the valleys, the mountains, the Pacific Ocean, it's yours. So this is a very long and detailed sentence.
Yes.
Describing all of the advantages of
yep.
not going to a skyscraper or an expensive restaurant.
Good. So first they call it absolutely unforgettable. That sounds great. No admission charge sounds even better.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next thing?
360-degree view. So, yeah, it's not just one side of a mountain. You can actually see the whole area, like from the top of a certain point.
Right, which is a really good point because mm-hmm. most hikes will only offer a partial view of a region.
Yeah.
So that's a really interesting point. And again, what can you see?
You can see the entire Los Angeles region, mm-hmm. its valleys, its mountains, and the Pacific Ocean.
It sounds incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a pretty amazing view.
So how do I get this view?
Well, all you have to do, Naomi, is hike a little. I know you like hiking.
I do like hiking. It's good exercise. Mm-hmm. And I like that after you work so hard, you get such a great reward for it. You know, you get to get up there to the top of the mountain, look out and say, yes, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the preferred exercise routes, it says. So I'm not the only one who likes to exercise by hiking. It sounds from this sentence that the Mount Hollywood Trail is very popular with hikers.
Yes, it is the preferred exercise route for many people, and it is easily accessed from the parking lot of the famous Griffith Observatory. So it's pretty easy to get to.
Okay, good. So if it's preferred, it means it's popular, it's easy to get to. What is the Griffith Observatory?
Well, this is a place where scientists, they go there to watch the planets and stars. They have a huge telescope there. I haven't been to the Griffith Observatory, but I've been to the Palomar Observatory outside of San Diego.
Okay.
And it's pretty similar. They're just a big telescope there that scientists use to go and study in outer space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have room on our layout to include any pictures of the observatory, but it's quite beautiful. The building's lovely as well. So it sounds like an interesting place to visit too. But if you thought the views from over there were something, so from the parking lot, it's already pretty, right? Because, of mm-hmm. course, an observatory needs to be at a high point so that they can see as much as possible.
Yeah.
So it already looks beautiful from there. But then what?
Well, wait until you see what you get at the end of this steep but fairly easy 1.5-mile trail. So it's really not that long, and they say it's fairly easy. And the trail winds its way through the Griffith Park wilds up to the mountain's 1,640-foot peak.
Okay. So wait until you see, again, it's sort of like a reward for mm-hmm. the work that you put into the climb.
Sure, that's right. It says, because you might think that this is something. It seems kind of weird to end the phrase with the word something. Maybe you could also say if you thought that was something spectacular or something mm-hmm. great. But often in English, we kind of do that. We say, well, if you think that is something. Or you could say, that's really something. You know,
yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're really something special.
Exactly.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. it's sort of implying that there's a special or amazing or
right.
after the something. All right. So wait until you see the reward of the final view. And again, it said that that trail winds its way through the wilderness here. What do we mean by that?
Well, that means it's not a straight trail. So there are lots of curves in it. You're going up a mountain. And mountain trails are not straight at all.
Right. It sort of reminds me of a river. Again, mm-hmm. that idea of kind of winding around. It's sort of turning and curving. And that's probably what makes it a fairly easy walk up the mountain.
Right, exactly. That's something I like about nature is that it does do that. It winds. I think people like to make things straight, easily accessible. But in nature, this everything winds. Nothing is really straight.
Okay. Next, we're headed to another surprising city, Tokyo.
Mount Takao, Tokyo. If you didn't know just how much the Japanese enjoy spending time in nature, hop a Keio Railways train from Tokyo's busy Shinjuku Station during the month of November and alight 50 minutes later at Takasanguchi. Can't move for the crowds? Well, it is peak foliage season, after all, and the station is at the foot of one of Tokyo's most popular hiking trails, scaling the sacred 1,965-foot Takosan, prized for its Mount Fuji views up top. Maybe come back on a Monday or some other month. Whenever you go, you'll likely have at least some company, but half the fun of hiking in Japan is sharing the experience with the locals.
Okay. So, have you ever been to Tokyo, Carolyn?
Yes, I have. I've been there 2 times, actually.
Okay. How would you describe that city?
Big. it has a lot of very interesting modern architecture, skyscrapers. So it's a very cool city to walk around.
Okay. So you expect to go see some interesting buildings, mingle with a lot of crowds, eat at some great restaurants.
Yes. And explore a lot of their very interesting districts. They have some very interesting areas. And one of them mentioned in the article is Shinjuku.
Okay.
And there are many, many places in Tokyo that have their own kind of mini cultures.
All right. So what can be found in Shinjuku?
Well, it's mostly a shopping area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun to walk around Shinjuku. Okay. Highly recommend it.
And also there's a train station there.
Yes, yes. And I spent a lot of time at that train station.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you're not the only one. We begin this paragraph by saying, if you didn't know just how much the Japanese enjoy spending time in nature, what should you do to find out?
Well, you should hop a Keio Railway's train from this busy Shinjuku station during the month of November. So it seems here like Japanese really enjoy spending time in nature, and you can find this by going on one of these trains.
Yes, so you can hop a train. But why during the month of November?
Well, November is fall, and it's very beautiful. So if you go during the month of November and alight 50 minutes later at Taku Sanguchi, you will be able to see something magnificent.
Hmm. Okay. What does it mean to alight?
Well, it means to get off of something like a bus or train or public transportation. I usually think of alighting from that thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a bit of an old-fashioned term, so you don't hear it quite as much just in conversation with native English mm-hmm. speakers. But you will sometimes see it written somewhere or in an article and so on. Okay. So if you get off at that station, you'll discover there's a lot of crowds. Can't mm-hmm. move for the crowds? It doesn't mean like you can't move to make way for the crowds. It means they won't move for you, right?
Yes, there are just too many people. You can't get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think it means like this doesn't appeal to you. Maybe if crowds doesn't appeal to you, it's not going to make you move or motivate you to go up. Then, because we see here that a lot of locals like to go and do this.
Right. Mm-hmm. Another popular idiom that it reminds me of is sometimes we say that you can't see the forest for the trees, right? You're so busy focusing mm-hmm. on these little things in front of you that you can't see the big picture. So it's the same kind of turn of phrase there. Can't move for the crowds. Well, it is peak foliage season after all. Like you were saying, Carolyn, it's fall.
Yes. And in fall, in temperate climates, the leaves change colors. So here we see it's peak foliage season, and that's the leaves of a plant or tree. And at this time of the year, the leaves turn orange, red, yellow, absolutely gorgeous, and reminds me of West Virginia.
Yeah, I do love fall foliage. It's so beautiful. And this station is a particularly good spot to go and check it out.
Well, yeah, it's right at the foot of Tokyo's most popular hiking trail. And at the foot of something, that just means it's right at the bottom or right at the edge of something.
Right. So mm-hmm. alight from the train and mm-hmm. step onto the trail. Sounds good. Now, what makes this trail so popular?
Well, you can scale the sacred 1,965-foot Takusan, and it is prized for its Mount Fuji views from the top. So it's a sacred mountain, so people have a lot of respect for this mountain, and it also has magnificent views of Mount Fuji.
It sounds sort of ideal to me, because it sounds like Mount Takao has a good climb for you, but then it also offers you a view not only of the scenery from down below, but also you can look over at this other majestic mountain that you probably wouldn't be able to climb, mm-hmm. but it gives you a view of it that's so much better than what you would see from the ground.
It's true. Sometimes it's better to climb the second best something so you can see the best. Like when I was in New York, we went up to the top of the NBC radio tower, the building so that we could have a good view of the Empire State Building, which is probably a little more famous.
Right. If you climb the Empire State Building, you can see everything except the building.
Yeah, exactly.
Same is true with Mount Fuji. So I think this has potential to be a good plan. But if it's too crowded for you, maybe they suggest, well, could you come back on a Monday or come some other month? Would that help with the crowds?
Well, it could help with the crowds. Monday, you know, people are at work. It's not the weekend. And if you go another month, it won't be as beautiful. It won't be peak foliage season anymore. So there probably won't be as many people.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some disadvantages to going at a later time if you don't like crowds. So you might want to go check it out during this season.
And that's sort of what they say in that last sentence, isn't it?
Yes. It says, whenever you go, you'll likely have at least some company. So there's probably going to be at least a few people there, no matter when you go.
Mm-hmm.
But
half the fun of hiking in Japan is sharing the experience with the locals. So it seems like since you're going to experience crowds anyway, no matter when you go, you might as well go when there's a lot of people there, when it's peak season, when you know the locals are enjoying it the most as well.
Mm-hmm. And if it's half the fun, it's a big part of big part of what you're going to enjoy. And I think it's worth mentioning that this article was written by a Westerner. So for them, especially coming to Asia, they say, well, you know, interacting with people from that region is quite interesting. Maybe they're not as familiar with the Asian culture. And so I can see why they would recommend that. Well, of these two, which sounds more appealing to you so far, Carolyn?
I think I would go back to Tokyo.
Yeah?
Yes, I think my heart belongs in Asia. and I would love to get a wonderful view of Mount Fuji because that is something that I didn't see while I was there.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Gabe?
I'm with Carolyn. I mean, I've been to Los Angeles before. I love the trails there, but I just love to go visit Tokyo as well, but also experience the nature surrounding Tokyo.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think I might enjoy doing the Mount Hollywood Trail, but mostly because I want to stop off at that observatory.
Nice.
It sounds pretty amazing. Well, we have more options coming up tomorrow, listeners, so please come back and join us then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.